Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Hayo about the comparison of a great person to an oniya, to a ship. We said yesterday that one of the attributes of an oniya, of a large ship that has tremendous amount of merchandise, is that in order for the ship to stay healthy above water and travel, it has to be balanced. If you put too much on one side, you're going to sink the ship. A human, a great person, has the balance that's needed to live a life of healthiness and greatness. To become great, you have to be healthy. A healthy person has what it takes to reach the goals that they need to reach in life. When a person is not healthy minded, life becomes very upsetting. People become very disturbing. Relationships become very complicated. But in reality, it all starts with the person himself. A person who is healthy is a healthy, balanced person. He's going to be able to reap the benefits of so much good in all of his life connections. A person who isn't themselves healthy is going to find problems everywhere he goes. And part of being unhealthy is blaming those problems on everyone else. Healthy-minded people need balance. So we need to give a few examples. What does it mean to be a balanced person? So today I'd like to discuss one area with you, which is a very big area in this subject, and we need to focus on how to maximize our success in this area. We find by the Akedah that Abraham Avinu, after the willingness and the readiness to sacrifice his son, so the pasuk says, "Vayikra elav malach Hashem min haShamayim." The angel of Hashem called him from Shamayim. Vayomer, and he said, "Abraham, Abraham." Vayomer hineni. He said his name twice. The Midrash says, we mentioned this before, that saying the name of Abraham twice is coming to tell us and Abraham that he has reached a certain level of success, a very high level of Hatzlacha, in that there is an image of Abraham in heaven from the day he's born. There's an image of the great Abraham. The little baby is born, but in Shamayim they already have an image of his potential and what he could be. And they have that image in Shamayim, and they're waiting for Abraham, and they're waiting for every person. As he comes into this world, you see a little baby born. Already in Shamayim, they have an image of this baby in the most complete, powerful way. And now his life journey is to get to that image. Hopefully, day by day, he gets closer to that image with the hope that he will possibly one day even reach it. to reach that image is a tremendous accomplishment. That means the person has brought out his full potential. I think most people in the world, in the history of the world, would not be able to say they brought out their full potential. Avraham Avinu, in this moment, when it says Avraham, Avraham, the Midrash says that there was a match between the Avraham on earth to the Avraham in Shamayim, the Avraham 137 years beforehand, when he was born, that image that was placed waiting to see what will happen, at 137 years, Avraham reaches his full potential. Avraham, Avraham. And then, of course, the beautiful words that Hashem tells him, the Malach says to him a second time, he makes a swear. It's a very serious thing. The Malach is swearing. Kiyan asher asita davar hazeh. Because you did this, and you didn't hold back even your son from me. Ki barecha barecha. I will bless you double. Barecha barecha. All the beautiful berachot of the Jewish people that came from that moment. The pasuk says, after this whole story, Vayashov Avraham el ne'arav. Avraham returned to the young people that were with him. They were waiting for him from a distance. He was with his son alone on the mountain. He went back to the people. Vayakumu, and they got up. Vayelechu yahdav, and they went together. El Be'er Shava. They went together to Be'er Sheva. Ve'yeshev Avraham Be'er Shava. And Avraham, he sat. He settled in Be'er Sheva. The question is, what are those extra words? Vayelechu yahdav el Be'er Sheva. Why does it say they went together to Be'er Sheva? I mean, if he went back to them and they ended up in Be'er Sheva, we would imagine they traveled together. And what's the difference if they didn't travel together? Let's say they didn't go together. Let's say they were a mile apart. What difference does it make to us? The travels of Avraham and the young men waiting for him back to Be'er Sheva seems to be unnecessary information that doesn't have any value for us. The truth is, the words Vayelechu Shenehem Yahdav were mentioned in the parasha of the Akedah two times beforehand. Let's study them. Pasuk says, Vayikach Avraham et aseh ha'ola. Avraham took with him the wood. He took wood with him in preparation. He didn't want to rely on the wood that he would find. He took with him the wood, Vayasem al Yitzhak beno, and he put it on Yitzhak his son. Vayikach beyado et ha'esh, he took with him the fire, ve'et ha'machilet, and he took the knife. So he has the knife, the fire, and the wood. Vayelechu shenehem yahdav. Him and Yitzhak, they went together. Again, what is this Yahda for? So over here, Rashi Alav HaShalom says, what does it mean, Yahdav? Avraham, Shehaya Yodea. At this point, Avraham knew Shehalach Lishhot Et Beno. He knew he was going to slaughter his son. Aya Holech Beratzon VeSimcha. He was going with full will and full happiness. Ke Yitzhak Shelo Haya Margish Badavar. Yitzhak didn't know yet that they were going to slaughter him. He thought they were going to serve Hashem by slaughtering Korbanot. He was very excited. He was going with full simha. Avraham and Yitzhak were Yahdav. They were together. What does it mean together? Not physically together. They were together in their simha. That Avraham, even though he knew that he was going to slaughter his son, and Yitzhak didn't, Avraham had the same simha as Yitzhak, ve'yelechu shenehem yahdav. There was no difference between the excitement of Yitzhak and the excitement of Avraham. Nice. So that's why Torah told us yahdav. So we can know how Avraham felt during the mitzvah of the Akedah. So you see, by the way, that the Torah felt it was important for us to know how Avraham felt when he was doing the mitzvah. Which means, you see him doing the mitzvah, you see a person doing a mitzvah, that's it. You share with us the mitzvah, so now I know what he did. But you see how much value the Torah gives not only to the act that we do, but to the feelings that we have behind the act. A person doing a mitzvah with simcha, with happiness, eno domen, does not compare to a person who does an act without happiness. Person goes to the Bet Knesset, he goes to pray. One of the things in Shamayim that they're going to look at when you're going to Bet Knesset is they're going to look at your simcha. And they're going to compare it to some simcha. You see, in Shamayim, they don't need to judge you. They will look and let you judge yourself based on yourself. Which means they're going to show you going to shul. You're going to learn. And they're going to show when you were going to vacation. And they're going to show you what's going on inside your lev when you're going on vacation that you're excited for. Used to be people are excited for vacation, not today. Today they go every other week, so they don't feel the excitement. It used to be a guy went on vacation that once every few years. They'll show you the simha that you had, and they'll show you the lack of simha, and it's clear the difference. Here, how does the Torah express the simha of Avraham Avinu? It expresses it with someone right next to him. Hashem will show him, look at Yitzhak, that's with you, and look at you. The difference between the two is Yitzhak has no idea. So he's all excited. You do have an idea, but the expectation is you should be just like that. Be'elechu shenehem yahdav. Achamim tell us that we're supposed to learn from other people's behavior and bring it to Avodat Hashem. Like it says, me'oyevai tehakemeni mitzvotecha. Sometimes me'oyevai, sometimes from my own enemies, I'll be able to have wisdom for your mitzvot. Which means, if I see somebody so excited to do something that is against Hashem's will, I need to learn from that how excited I have to be to do Hashem's will. It's very important. You see people excited to do silly things. You see people excited for a football game. Hashem created that for me and you. That when we see someone excited for a football game, we should be able to take from that excitement and say, look how excited a person could be for something so meaningless. How much more excited do I have to be? When you see excitement around you, you need to learn from it. That's why Torah could have just said, and Abraham was excited. That doesn't say that. Yahdav, Torah wanted to tell you that part of the strategy of how Abraham became excited was when he saw the excitement of his son. His son had no idea that he was being slaughtered and that's why he's excited. What's the difference? Bottom line, you see someone excited, you need to take that for yourself. So when we see people excited in life, part of the moment is to take from that excitement to Avodat Hashem. The new thing. You see a guy excited. That's so silly. No. You have to learn from Kal Vachomer. You have to learn and say, wow, if he's excited for that, how much more? Look at the way he is. He's sitting around watching the game. He has Seudah. If that's the Seudah you have for this, what do I have to have? People, they make a siyum, they sponsor the breakfast for $200. Or when the game is on, they have a catered meal. What was it? When you see the excitement that people show for meaningless things and sometimes, has v'shalom, even averot, a person has to look in the mirror and say, so am I showing that excitement for Kedusha? When I'm learning, do I have that excitement? When I'm giving charity, do I have that excitement? When I'm praying, do I have that excitement? When I do mitzvah, do I have that excitement? Abraham says, if Yitzhak is excited, I have to be excited. All the more so I have to be excited. I'm the one doing the mitzvah. We have a second time in the story where it says the same words. Here it says, when Yitzhak asked his father, Abba, what's going on here? Hine ha'esh ve'ha'etzim. I see fire, I see wood, but I don't see any animals. Where's the sheep for the Korban? So Abraham tells him, Elohim, yir Eloh haseh le'olah, Beni. He says, it's you. The Korban is you. You're the sheep. He broke the news to him. What's amazing, by the way, about this story is, after he broke the news to him, not a word. You see the kivud avaim of Yitzhak Avinu. You would think, who told you? Are you sure? Do I have to listen? You have to slaughter, but do I have to be slaughtered? Not a word. Not okay. Not even okay. Okay would mean like you have a choice. And you say, and your father tells you to do something, and you say, okay, there's a little chisaron in that. Okay, meaning there was a decision in your mind, yes or no, and you say, okay.
Great.
But Yitzhak Avinu, not even an okay, nothing. Done. After Yitzhak hears from his father that he's going to be the sacrifice, not a word. Next words in the Pasuk are, Vayelechu shenehem yadav. They went together.
What does that mean?
We already know that. He told me they went together.
Oh.
Comes Rashi alav shalom and says, Ve'yelechu sheneem yahdab be'lev shaveh. They went with equal heart.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Same page. Which means now that Yitzhak found out that he was going to be slaughtered.
Less excited.
Lev Shaveh, he was like his father.
Why does Torah again say it in this way? Why doesn't it say
that Yitzhak went with Simcha? Why again does it have to say it Yahdav? We already know that Abraham was coming with Simcha. So why over here do you have to point out again, by the way, they were together? Tell me that Yitzhak also now, he was Sameach. Why does it point out that it was together? David's answering, Torah wants to tell you the level of Simcha. That Abraham, who was before compared to Yitzhak not knowing, Yitzhak now is the same level as Abraham. Shaveh, same. Not just he was willing, not just he was happy. The level is Abraham. Alan's saying different than they. He's saying not just that we see that there is a high level of Simcha like Abraham, which is true, because Yahdab. But where did Yitzhak find the Simcha to be able to go through something like this, where he's going to be slaughtered and have full Simcha like he did before he knew he was the sheep? Because when you watch Abraham and he saw his father beforehand, how he was going, he knew why he was going, and he saw his level of Simcha. So this gave Yitzhak the chizuk, the strength, to do like his father. Which means the Simcha of a father in what he does in Avodat Hashem will be felt by his children, and they'll be able to elevate themselves to be like that. Yitzhak is saying to himself, one second, my father was so excited 2 minutes ago, but he knew where he was going. Oh my goodness. Wow. You could go to sacrifice your son and you could have such a happiness in doing God's will. Yitzhak said, he became like that too. Beautiful. Both answers are great. It's a measurement of how far he went, and also it's showing the tremendous influence that Abraham the father had on his son. When you do things besimcha, it creates a passion in your children. Sometimes we see our children lacking passion. But really, from this we see that perhaps we're lacking the passion. We're not as passionate as we need to be. And therefore we're seeing children without the passion that we're looking for in them. The more passion you have, the more your children will feel that passion. Don't just do mitzvot. Don't just come to Friday night dinner as a mitzvah. Come with all the simcha. Go to pray with energy. Go to learn with energy. Leave the house when you're going to learn as energetic as you would do in any exciting moment. It adds to yourself and it adds to the people around you. Beautiful. Jack is saying the words belif shaveh, right? That she before mentioned the word ratzon and simcha. But in this one, he just said belif shaveh, with an equal heart. Why did Rashi not say beratzon ubesimcha? Why did here did he say the heart? Why all of a sudden he went to the heart? Before he didn't talk about the heart. He spoke about ratzon and happiness. So Jack is saying that before there wasn't a proof that Abraham was happy with the lib. Because since Yitzhak didn't know, Abraham wanted to show happiness so he wouldn't upset him, he wouldn't scare him. If Abraham's gonna go to bring his sacrifice and he's all concerned, it's gonna raise red flags. It's gonna be an alarm to Yitzhak. Remember, Abraham never told Yitzhak. He wasn't, I guess, planning to tell him unless he is. So he couldn't, he's going on, he's showing a happy face because he doesn't want to disturb him. But now that they both know, and he's still happy, so there you see, it's from the liv. There you see, it's not mean, the Torah is coming out of its way to tell you. You should know that the happiness wasn't just external. The happiness was from the liv. And you could only see that the second Yahdav. Because on the first one, you see the person is acting with happiness. He's acting with energy, which is also good, by the way. Even if you don't feel in the lip, do it. But the second one is not only about Yitzhak, but it's also about Abraham, Lev Shaveh. Now it's from the heart. Beautiful. Beautiful. Anyway, it's not why we came here. We're here for the third Yahdav. By the end, when everything is over, Pasuk says, he went back to the young men that were waiting for him, and they went together. Now this together is not Abraham and Yitzhak only, it's with the Ne'arim. So you go look in Rashi over here, and there's no Rashi. No Rashi on this one. I guess Rashi wanted to leave space for others. He wanted us to think on our own. No Rashi.
It's so pashute. Well, the first two of us.
I don't know. No Rashi on. First one bothered him. Second one bothered him. The second one. The third one, no comment. There's a beautiful explanation here that's very relevant to our subject that says, you know what it means that Abraham and Yitzhak and the young people, the young servants of Abraham, you know what it means when they walked together? It means Sheba'a. HaTorah HaKdosha, came the Holy Torah to teach us. Leha'id. Leha'id means to testify. Al Ma'alat Abraham Avinu VeYitzhak Alav HaShalom. Abraham and Yitzhak, Shelo Hirgishu BeAtzmam Shum Hitnas'ut. They didn't come back to the servants with any kind of ego, haughtiness, shum reyach ga'ava, af she'asu ma'ase nechbad ve'gadol kaze. They just came back from the greatest moment. Da'akeda. Who was there? Abraham and Yitzhak, nobody else. They came back. Imagine you just reached the highest level of any human. Till that point, you've reached the highest level. You got God's promise, got His blessings. You reached your full potential. We're talking about something big. The first person in the Torah to reach his potential, Abraham Avinu. Abraham and Yitzhak coming back. How do you feel when you just imagine a guy just wrote a check to support the entire Torah world? He said, everybody, guys, just stay home. Teach Torah. Don't go out looking for money. I got it. He writes a big check to fill every institution's budget. How do you think he feels? The next guy he sees, how do you think, what's going to happen over there? Waves his hand to the crowd, raises both hands, right? Makes a fist. Avraham Avinu here and Yitzhak, they leave the Akedah, and the people with them don't notice even a difference between the time they went with them or on the way back. Nothing. Like regular people that didn't just experience the greatest moment in history. They came back with humility and they walked yahdav. They didn't say, you don't know what's happened to us. I mean, we don't want to say, but we'll just tell you. This answer is from the Greece from Brisk. The Greece says an unbelievable shot. He says that they didn't allow the people to even see a little bit of haughtiness, a little bit of, you know what happened? You know what, just, you missed something. Wow, you missed it. Nothing. Yahdav. The only people that know about the Akedah are the Jewish people by Matan Torah.
Wow.
Because Abraham didn't talk about it and Yitzhak didn't talk about it. Wow. I don't know that Yaakov knew about the Akedah. I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know that Yaakov. I don't know that Abraham or Yitzhak would tell Yaakov Avinu, God, I don't know, it doesn't say. They know? How do you know they know? Prove it. Bring me a proof, I'm good. Anyway, bottom line, Abraham and Yitzhak did not walk around talking about their accomplishments. We're asking, did anyone know till Matan Torah? I don't know, look it up, we'll see, we have to look it up, see if there's any midrash that says that. Here is a great piece of information for a healthy, balanced person. When a person does a great act, a great mitzvah, how should he feel? Should he feel like he did something great? Should he be full of himself because he did something great? We're not talking about a guy who did something meaningless. That's not even a question. We're not talking about that. Should you feel accomplished because you did something great? Or should you feel like you didn't do anything special? One could say, well, of course you feel great. You did something great. And if you feel great, then you'll do more great. But one will say, wait, but that's, is that arrogance? You did something great? I mean, isn't that like, you think too much of yourself? So what's the other side? You don't think you did anything special? So if you don't think you're special, so then doesn't that hurt you in life? Because you don't think that you're a special person and you won't do special things? Where is this going? Am I supposed to feel special when I do something special or I'm not? That's a very important question. After I learn first seder, I learn in the morning, I learn at night. Do I walk out feeling, oh, I just did something special? Is that a healthy feeling? Or are you supposed to feel, I didn't do anything special? So here is a balance, a very fine balance, how a person is supposed to feel when they do beautiful things in their life. You can't take any credit for the good that you do. You can't take any credit. This is not a fake humility where I really feel all the credit, but I just don't share it. That's called fake humility. Like the people who say, who am I to get up and speak over here?
And they pull out a 30-page speech.
He's such a Baal Gava that he even wanted people to think you're another. Okay, so this is all fake. The humility practiced in Western society is fake. It's gava. Real anava, real humility, is when the person really be'emet feels that way. I'm faking that. I feel awesome about what I did, but I don't want to share it with you. That's fake humility. That's not real. That's external humility. Usually that's not real. Real humility is be'emet, I don't feel I'm anything special. I didn't share it with the people waiting for me, not because I don't want to share what I feel great about, because I really don't feel I'm special. And that's now what. So you do something great, you're not supposed to feel you did something special. Why not? Didn't you do something special? Why shouldn't you feel great? And the answer is because you didn't do anything great. Because Hashem is the one who gave you the opportunity. He gave you the child. He gave you the knife. He gave you the wood. He gave you the fire. He gave you everything. He gave you the strength. So you, if Hashem didn't allow your hand to move, then you couldn't slaughter. If you didn't allow your legs to walk, then it's not going. So you did nothing. God is the one who gave you all the wherewithal to be able to do it. But you can be proud of one thing. You can be proud of one thing. The only thing that you actually did is that you decided to do it. You decided you want to do God's will. And it makes no difference if you decide to do God's will, if it's the Akedah, or you did God's will to pray Minha this afternoon. Or you decided to eat kosher today when you went to get a sandwich. God's will doesn't change in something small or something large. So you can be proud that you did God's will. So we're going to go tell them about the Akedah. You know what I just did? I just almost sacrificed my son. That's not you. You're taking pride in your accomplishments, or are you taking pride in your choice? That's the balance that could either sink your ship in life or can make you a healthy person. Because the more you take pride and attribute to yourself what God does, the more your ship is going to be off and you're going to sink. Because the more you start hearing how great you are, oh, you are so great. Wow, the classes you give, Rabbi, yeah, changing the world. The money you're giving, changing the Jewish people. That building wouldn't be there without you. You keep hearing that in your heart and from others, then that good sinks your ship before you know it. You become a Baal Gava. You start becoming a Baal Gava to your wife, because everywhere you go, they're all bowing to you, except for your wife, because she knows you. So she's not bowing to you. And all of a sudden you say, hey, how come everybody else respects me? Say, my wife, what's going on here? And all of a sudden you become this arrogant person full of ego, and you expect your children to become your slaves and your wife to be your servant, all because of the Akedah. Because you're the guy who did the greatest act since Adam HaRishon. So that act sinks your ship. Why? because you're off balance, because you took credit for something you didn't do. You should take credit for the choice that you made. You should feel good about that. But that's it. You can't take credit for what's happening out there. You made a choice to give money to build a yeshiva. That is gorgeous.
That's it.
But don't say the yeshiva is mine. Don't say I built that. Don't say without me, or don't feel that way, that without me there'd be no yeshiva. That's all shaken. Hashem doesn't need you, and the yeshiva doesn't need you. You have a tremendous zechut that you made a choice. But don't think that what's actually happening in real life is because of your choice. Your choice is good for you. What happens in real life, Hashem does. If the yeshiva needs to be built, it will be built with or without you. You're fortunate that you had the zechut to be able to make the choice. If you have such a balance, you're not going to feel arrogant from your donation. You're not going to feel arrogant because you wrote a sefer that everyone loves. You're not going to feel arrogant that you are teaching Torah, because that's no difference as the choice to pray minha. No difference. You're going to go glote. You know. What did I do today? You know what I did today? Pray minha. What? That's what you did today? You don't gloat about praying minha. Because the minha is, everyone's doing minha. I don't know. The choice to serve Hashem and to do His will, that's what you get. And that's something to be proud of. Whether it's minha or arbit or shahrit or Torah or anything. Be proud of the choice that you make. But don't take pride in the accomplishment that came out of it. Because that's not your thing. And if you take pride in your accomplishment, you're taking the boat and you're putting the weight on the wrong side, and it's going to sink your life. The very good that you do could sink you. You have to be balanced. You have to know where to feel good from and where not to feel good from. Maybe yes, maybe not. Saying maybe sometimes you're supposed to tell us to give people...
It could be.
I don't know the situation. I don't know. That's a balanced, healthy person who does so much good, but they don't feel that the results are them. They don't look at the buildings, that's mine. They don't look at the people growing, oh, it's mine. Because of me, they're growing. If not me, they don't grow. You know? That's not healthy. That is going to sink the boat.
Sink the ship.
Balance. Take pride for what you did, which is you chose. That's it. And even that, you have to thank Hashem that He gave you the opportunity to choose. But everything else, nothing to do with you. It'll make you a very healthy person. Have a wonderful day.